I see something happening in America nowadays. In churches that I preach, I find a lot of people don't even bring a Bible. I don't believe that was true in America 60, 70 years ago. But we become lazy. They don't even bring a Bible to a meeting. Can you imagine children going to school without bringing their school books? This is the tragedy. I remember in our church, we had the option of projecting every verse on the screen, scripture, so that whenever a verse is quoted, projecting on the screen. I said, I'll never allow that in my church. It'll make people lazy. They won't bring their Bibles. And the end result will be, they'll never know their Bibles. People who don't bring a Bible, I can tell you in Jesus' name, you don't know the Bible. You will never know it. There's something about even people on the street seeing a man taking a Bible and going to a meeting. It's a witness for Christ in a godless world. In our church back home in Bangalore, whenever I quote a scripture, I see everybody's head is down. Everyone. Because they got a Bible. When I preach in most churches in America, they're looking up and staring, and I guarantee they don't even know what the verse says. They're not interested. It's because they don't love Jesus. You cannot be like that if you love Jesus Christ. My desire, my brothers and sisters, is not to instruct you. It's to lead you to love my Savior. To lead you to know Him and love Him. Because this is what the devil is leading people astray from. We got to see that. In 2 Corinthians, you know, Paul was writing, let me begin with 1 Corinthians. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, brethren, I determined, verse 2, to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now there are many people who quote that verse and say, that's all I'm going to preach. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But you know, that was spoken to people who were babies. That's milk. He says in chapter 3, verse 2, I gave you milk to drink. That's milk. That's for a baby. Jesus Christ died for your sins. Did you sin? Just confess it. The blood of Jesus will cleanse you. That's baby food. So to boast and say, oh, I'm a preacher, I only preach Christ and Him crucified. Well, then you must be preaching to babies all the time. Your church must be full of babies. See what he goes on to say. I determined not to know anything but Christ and Him crucified, so that your faith should not rest in the wisdom. And yet, 1 Corinthians 2:6, yet we do speak more than that wisdom among those who are mature. But you guys are not mature. Because you're not mature, I can only tell you, Christ died for your sins and your sins can be forgiven. Don't worry, God loves you. No matter how much you sin, He'll forgive you. The blood of Jesus is always there. That's because you're babies. But though among those who are mature, I can speak wisdom. It's like you tell a kindergarten class, listen, children, let's learn to say C-A-T is cat and B-A-T is bat. And let's learn 2 plus 2 is 4. Well, how long are you going to sit learning that? It's like a kindergarten teacher saying, I'm determined not to know anything except among you except, you know, reading simple words and adding a couple of digits together. But among those who are a little mature, those who want to press on in their education, then we can teach them something more. We can teach them physics and geography and history and calculus and mathematics and so many things which you babies are not interested in. That's what Paul is saying. Among those who are mature, we can speak wisdom. Not the wisdom of this world, but the wisdom of God, which is like a mystery, a hidden wisdom, which God predestined for our glory. I don't believe we can partake of the glory of God fully if we don't seek to press on to maturity. We must not be satisfied as babies. And when we seek to press on to maturity, it says here, there are things which our human eye cannot see, verse 9, 1 Corinthians 2:9, which our human ear cannot hear, and which our mind cannot understand. But God, verse 10, reveals them through the Holy Spirit. That's why a person who's wanting to press on to maturity, he's got a passion to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire. He's got a passion that the Holy Spirit will fill his inner being so that he can show him those things which human eyes can never see. Things revealed by God through the Spirit. It's the very thoughts of God. It says in verse 11, in the last part, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. You know, it's an amazing thing that the Holy Spirit has come to reveal to me how God thinks. Like a wife, after she's lived with her husband a number of years, knows how he thinks. I mean, the day she gets married, she may not know what his favorite food is or what he wants at home or different things or the way what he values. But after she's lived with him a few years, she knows so many things about his way of thinking and his way of living. And that's one of the wonderful things, that we come to know the thoughts of God if we are really walking with the Lord every day. And the more we get to know the thoughts of God, we begin to behave like Him. It's been a tremendous grief to me to see, a real grief to my heart, to see people who have heard some of these truths for so many years still losing their temper at home, still murmuring and complaining. I say, what in the world have you been listening to in the church all these years? Just accumulating knowledge? Just trying to get a reputation before other believers? You're a hypocrite, I say. You're a first-class hypocrite. Repent of your hypocrisy. I don't want your blood to be on my hands, and that's why I say that. Get to know the thoughts of God. Humble yourself. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be satisfied that you're better than others. Press on. This is the burden that, and later on in 2 Corinthians, he writes to the Corinthian church, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He says the reason, you know, Paul spoke very firmly to these Corinthians. Why in chapter 4 he said, shall I come to you with a rod? Only a father would speak like that. Shall I come to you with a rod, he says. And he says in 2 Corinthians 11, 1, I wish you'd bear with me a little in my foolishness. You know, they thought, this guy speaks so strongly. And chapter 10, verse 10, his letters are weighty and strong. He speaks so strong, this man Paul. But his personal presence is very unimpressive. Speaks strong, but he's not a very impressive personality. He says, okay, chapter 11, verse 1, you can bear with me in my foolishness, whatever you may think of me. The reason I speak like that, he says, is I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy. You know, that's the heart of a true shepherd. A true shepherd is not one bit bothered what his sheep think about him. He's bothered the sheep will get good pasture and be healthy, free from sickness, and grow. And that's how Paul was. I'm jealous for you, he says, with a godly jealousy. Because I'm like a person who's preparing a bride for Jesus Christ. A bride for Jesus Christ, that I might present you as a pure virgin to Him. The Lord is looking for a pure virgin. And a true shepherd will long to make the church he's responsible for, to present it as a pure virgin to Christ one day. I believe all of us should have that heart. I mean, if you're parents, you need to have such a heart for your children. And you've got to start very early when they are 1 year old. Start preparing them to be a pure virgin for Jesus Christ one day. If you work on it from the time they are one, you will achieve it. The Bible says, train up a child when he's young, when he's old, he will not depart from it. And you've determined that in your heart, more than anything else, you're going to prepare your children to be a pure virgin for Jesus Christ. Protected from the influence of the world, living in the midst of the world, but not of the world. You're not making your children monks and nuns who have no contact with the world. They live in the midst of the world, but they're unaffected by it. Think of Moses' mother, who trained her son just for a few years so well that when he grew up in the midst of Pharaoh's palace, the most wicked place on the face of the earth, he came out pure at the end of that time, saying, I don't want the wealth of the world. I don't want the honor of Egypt. I want the reproach of Christ. I want to be with God's people. I mean, if an Old Testament mother like Jochebed, the mother of Moses, could do that, why can't we do it today with the power of the Holy Spirit? Why can't we train up our children so that when they grow up, they're going to refuse the wealth of the world and refuse the honor of men and refuse the pleasures of sin and decide to live for Jesus Christ? Every one of them. If you have 10 children, all 10. That must be the passion of our heart, a godly jealousy, because we believe this is the most important thing in life.